The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, a very good morning to you. How are you?
A very, very good morning from all of us here in Israel. And it's morning mayhem of the best kind. It's a kind of mayhem we so seldom and rarely get to talk about. So should we
just
jump right
good
into it?
News, absolutely. What is the big announcement? Were you surprised? Did it come from nowhere? Tell us about it.
It did come from nowhere, but you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. So when you start walking back, you can see that the steps were heading towards this absolute historic moment. So I'll just share my experience. I was busy writing an article, and I get updates from the PM's office, from various news sources all the time. And this update just pinged across my screen, and I thought, what? I mean, I had my poor husband come running from his office to see what all the excitement was about. But yes, an absolute historic moment. Yesterday, signing of a peace agreement now called the Abraham Accords between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And what is very interesting, guys, is that they're using the word normalization. And this is key. This is key because we hear so much coming from the anti-Israel camp about the breaking down of normalization. They're very anti-talks and peace and resuming these kind of relations. And also, we must remember that Israel hasn't really seen the United Arab Emirates as an enemy country. It's a Gulf state that we've had no ties with, not an enemy entity like Yemen or Lebanon or Syria. So this is truly an extraordinary moment. And what I found quite moving was taking to social media and seeing the Emiratis welcoming this, saying they cannot wait to visit Israel. They cannot wait to see Jerusalem, and they cannot wait to welcome Israelis to the UAE. I mean, how would you and I know that Israelis have a propensity for shopping, and they might live to regret this when we're all over their shopping mall.
Absolutely. I can only imagine when Israelis hit those malls in Dubai, they're going to say, bring us that peace treaty and let us tear it up. Send them home.
I mean, you've seen what happened when Israelis returned from London. You know the plane has landed when you just see Primark packages walking through the airport.
You know, Rolene, I just had this terrible image of those Dead Sea cosmetic people now popping up, Israelis popping up in Dubai shopping malls. Trying to sell those creams and cosmetics. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It probably is in agreement. I wonder if that was a sticking point that the Israelis they can't send those people to harass the Dubaian.
Well, let's take a look at the road to this. And we do have rumors that Bahrain and Oman, two other Gulf states, could follow. But like, in all seriousness, let's unpack this deal. It's very, very important for a number of reasons. And, many are saying, but at what price? Because, you know, Netanyahu has taken annexation off the table. So let me just reiterate. Netanyahu has said annexation's off the table for now. However, you know, when we look at annexation, those are areas that are under Israeli control anyway. So, you know, we would caution the far right and the people who are angry at that, to take a beat and look at the bigger picture of what we are achieving here. We also face a massive regional threat in the form of Iran. Israel's not the only country that has been threatened by the Iranians, and we've heard from the Iranians. I mean, it would be quite odd if we didn't, saying that the UAE is going to drown or rather be engulfed in Zionism fire. Well, if we get them fired up with Zionism, you know, I fail to see anything wrong with that. Naturally, we've heard from the Palestinians. The Palestinian Authority withdrew their ambassador with immediate effect. Hamas are very, very unhappy about this deal, as are, you know, anti-Israel activists Ariel Gold, but that's a whole other case. But anybody who is seen as anti-peace or anti-normalization is against this deal. And anybody who supports Iranian hegemony and the support of its proxies in the region are against this deal. And
it's the most bizarre thing. I mean, how is anybody against a peace deal between two countries who have had a terrible relationship until now? I don't understand it. Why would anybody else insert themselves into the story? It's got nothing to do with anybody else, actually.
Well, absolutely, and I've seen so many people saying, you know, it's Trump and Netanyahu, and they're trying to, you know, Trump has an election coming up.
Only a Western leftist media can make a peace agreement negative because of the person that assisted in concluding it. It is a very sick and evil world that we live in, that we could subvert truth and goodness to that extent because of our own personal feelings about a person involved in it. It's a horror, actually, really.
Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And we have, you know, as the details are being made more clear, we have it confirmed that it was actually Yossi Cohen, the head of the Mossad, that was spearheading the peace treaty. And we also have to remember that this is a peace treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. It's not a peace treaty between various personalities. It is between two countries and will benefit these two countries, especially now where we have a global pandemic and with it massive economic fallout. Wherever we can look to cooperate with other countries, and Netanyahu in his speech to the nation last night saying, you know, this is what we've been working hard for, you know, numerous trips to the Gulf, trips to Muslim countries in Africa as well. This is what we're working for, is mutual cooperation and ways that Israel and other countries can work together. Only warmongers and people, and I'm going to use a very Yiddish word here, that are feribeldick, have something against
Zanati's new favorite word, so that's fine. I just saw a very funny, you know, there's the Mossad parody account, and they've tweeted, finally, we can visit the UAE under our real names. I thought that was very, very funny. But Rolene, just putting my conspiracy hat on for a moment, and tell me if this is a completely bizarre theory. You and I have been speaking, and certainly I've been speaking for some time, about the proposed sovereignty, application of sovereignty, the annexation, and it just didn't sit well with me because it made no sense. To me, it was always going to be part of a deal where there could be a peace agreement between everybody. It just didn't, the timing didn't make sense in terms of COVID. It didn't make sense in terms of reaching some agreement with the Palestinians. It just didn't sit. It just didn't sit comfortably with me. If we now take a step back and look at it, this type of behavior is straight out of the Trump strategy playbook, where he takes something off the table, or he becomes quite aggressive about something, and then uses that as a bargaining chip to be able to reach another agreement. Do you think it's possible that from the get-go, this whole sovereignty application discussion was actually about this deal?
Oh, well, that's a fascinating question. I think there's definitely elements there. I think the application of sovereignty has so many different elements to it. You know, it's the timing with Netanyahu's trial. It's, you know, coming through a cycle of three elections. But I do agree with you that there is something Trumpian behind the scenes in the machinations. You know, if we go back, and as I said at the beginning, hindsight is 2020, and if we start retracing the steps, the US became very, very stum all of a sudden on the issues of application of sovereignty. They started to say things like, you know, it's not even on our agenda right now, and Israel would not have acted without the support of the Americans. Coupled with that, we also had the unprecedented op-ed by the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates in a Hebrew daily, using the carrot approach rather than the stick. And, you know, very interesting has been the language that has been used in the declaration, at least from the Emiratis, in that they say, you know, they hope this will usher in new diplomacy. And with regards to, you know, Israel and the Palestinians, it kind of throws the gauntlet. If you're serious about peace and if you're serious about a state, you might want to take a more regional look. You might want to take a bigger look at how it benefits not just you, but also the region, and stop this, you know, stubborn nonsense. You know, we've of course heard from Saeb Erekat Remekat, mm-hmm. and another cup of coffee, who calls this a despicable betrayal. And I think there's also something Trumpian in that, because the Palestinians have completely disregarded the Americans as far as any overtures towards peace and diplomacy are concerned. And I think that, you know, if you know Trump and you know his politics and you know that he is a settler of scores, I said settler of scores, people, I think this is also a way of giving the Palestinians a, you know, a little bit of a reminder of, you know, who the major power broker is here. So I definitely think that President Trump's fingerprints are all over, or the way that he conducts business are all over the way that this has played out.
Karen is saying, great, now we can go to Israel via Dubai and you can do some shopping on the way there and back. It's actually a very good point that Karen makes, because
I feel
travel,
like all you guys care about is the shopping.
We are coming across as a bit shallow, aren't we? It is true.
So
Rolene, help us out here. We're not looking good.
I can't dispute this, guys, but what has been really beautiful to see is Tel Aviv. I mean, you're nothing, Zanati Howard, unless your flag has been up on the municipal building of the Tel Aviv municipality. Last night, the municipality in Tel Aviv, fresh off lighting up for Beirut, has now lit up with the flags of Israel and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. So Freudian slip, because I'm hoping Bahrain is soon to follow. But really, really amazing. And also we've heard from Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden also praising the deal. He said that it is a timely reminder that enmities and differences, even long-standing ones, are not set in stone, and of the role American diplomacy can play. And of course he goes on to say that a Biden-Harris administration will seek to build on this progress and will challenge all the nations of the region to keep pace, which is interesting because there has been legislation introduced at the highest levels of American government that calls for normalization between Israel and the Arab world, and actually sanctions those who call to break it apart. Of course, we've heard from Rashida Tlaib. She is not happy about this.
No, we read her tweet out this morning. Have you got the tweet in front of you? It's worth reading.
It was kind of very, very word salad-y that, you know, that, we argue over lands that they have, but lands that they don't have. And
I've got
it right here. Oh, okay. She says, we won't be fooled by another Trump-Netanyahu deal. We won't celebrate Netanyahu for not stealing land he already controls in exchange for a sweetheart business deal. The heart of this issue has never been planned formal annexation, but ongoing devastating apartheid. Well, that's clearly somebody who has completely lost the plot with regards to her own political party. She claims to be a Democrat and also has absolutely zero understanding of the region and all that is at play. But you got to love the Imam of Peace, who has said it is not a Trump-Netanyahu deal. It's a UAE-Israel deal. You will not be fooled because you are already a fool. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's incredible. How do you think this is going to impact now on Netanyahu? Because I think what we've seen in the last while is a tremendous amount of negativity around his position, around him, around his family. We do want to still quickly talk about Sarah, his wife, and what's going on there. But do you think that this could save his reputation?
Well, Israelis are far more cynical than that, because now, you know, yesterday we had this very, very mysterious new breaking news update that the Prime Minister has run out of a coronavirus committee meeting because of a national concern. And of course, us being Israelis have thought, who's attacking us now? And then just a little while later, we had this announcement. But now it's come out that it's actually the Mossad chief that brokered this. You know, it wasn't, you know, Netanyahu can't take all the credit. So we have to look at all the variables and all the parts that have played a part in making sure that this peace deal has been reached. So I think it makes him look good, certainly in the eyes of the international community. But for Israelis, you know, it's his trial. It's what he's going to be doing at home domestically that is going to have to pay dividends. But also, just in, we have announcements that they are working on non-stop flights between the two countries. So brace yourself, Emiratis, because here come the Israelis.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. Quickly tell us about what is going on with Sarah Netanyahu, because she hasn't had a good week.
Howard, it's a nutty, please. Come on, give the woman a donut, because she is very, very uptight and miserable. But she's also causing serious, serious harm. Just 2 days ago, she made a comment that she feels sexually harassed by the media, and that some of their more phallic balloons, I haven't seen any, that they've been using at protests have made her feel like she's sexually harassed. And women's organizations across the country, including Na'amat and Wito, came out very, very strongly in criticism of her, saying, you know, you've been to our shelters, you've sat with the victims of abuse. It is not okay to make these allegations. You insult the victims of abuse. Na'amat saying to her, you know, you're playing down the severity of sexual harassment. Wito saying that on both sides, whether it is people using sexual language or it's Sarah Netanyahu herself claiming to be sexually harassed, it is absolutely uncalled for, and that she should apologize. So, you know, I would caution Mrs. Netanyahu that at this time, when your husband is facing a lot of criticism and a lot of scrutiny, rather, that maybe don't comment to the press. Don't talk about it. Just, you know, take a note from the Queen. Never complain, never explain. And while you're at it, you may want to tell your son as well.
Absolutely right. It is 8:00. This is where we love and leave you, Rolene Marks.